On message today, beat up or cleaned up? Psalms 51, 1 through 12. David writes, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desire faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." Lord, we pray this today. Don't cast your Holy Spirit away from us. Create in us a clean heart. Give us a willing spirit to obey you, to sustain us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Number one. I try to cover up my sins. You never have done that, but you know. I try to cover up my sins. That's what David did. And he realized when they were uncovered that he was stained, that he was haunted, that he was troubled, that he had transgressed, that he had misbehaved, he had disobeyed, that he had had a lapse in judgment, that he had acted unwise. I have iniquity. Not sure what that is, but it sounds bad. Sounds ominous. I was immoral. I was heinous. Committed an act of injustice. I committed a crime. I committed evil. This sin is always before me, and I have sinned against you, God, and you alone, the Almighty. And you've hammered down your verdict on me, hammered down the guilty plea. I'm so low. There's nothing good in me. I was born a sinner from the time I was conceived. David confesses all of these things when his sin is uncovered. He confesses all these things when finally someone points out to him the sin that he had committed. But at first, he covered up his sin because that's broken, fallen human nature. We cover up our sins. What was his sin? He desired another man's wife, a woman named Bathsheba. And he had the power to take her, and he abused his power because he was the king. And you didn't say no to the king. And he does take Bathsheba, another man's wife, Uriah's wife. He brings her to the castle, has his way with her, sends her back home, and nobody knows. I got away with it. Covered it up. Send her back home. Nobody knows, and she's not talking. Until that time of the month wasn't that time of the month. Turns out Bathsheba is pregnant. And her husband Uriah, a military man, is stationed away from home. Hasn't been home for quite some time. So the baby can't be his. And everybody's going to know, this is not my child. This is not Uriah's child. Uh-oh. I'm getting caught up in my sin. I'm feeling a little dirty. I better do a better job at covering this up. There's still time to cover this up. So David had the power, and he abused his power again to have Uriah come home to be stationed at home for a time. And Uriah can be with his wife, and nobody will know. Sure, the baby won't look like him, but we'll just say it's some distant relative on Bathsheba's side he looks like. Sure, he'll have my nose, or she'll have my nose, but it's not a perfect cover-up. You ever notice your cover-ups, they start out pretty good, but then the next one is not as good as the first cover-up? It's not a perfect cover-up, but maybe we'll get by with it. But that cover-up doesn't work either. Uriah is an honorable man, an honorable soldier toward his brothers in uniform. He's too honorable to go home and enjoy the luxuries of his home while his brothers slept in tents in the mud. Now David says, I'm in trouble. I'm stained. I'm haunted here. But I still have the power to cover this up. And he abuses his power for the third time, and he had the power to do so. So what he does is he writes a letter, and he sends this letter and has Uriah carry the letter back to General Joab. And the general receives this letter from Uriah. The general opens the letter and reads it. And the letter says, put Uriah at the front, a place where you know he will be killed. Covered up his transgression with a heinous crime, with an act of injustice, with an act of evil. And it seems like whenever we start covering up, the next cover-up's not as good, and then the cover-ups start getting worse and worse and worse. But he covered it up. And nobody knows. Well, it seems to be there are some rumors going around. And I think Bathsheba suspects that Uriah was put in a place of danger. But she doesn't really know. She just suspects. And she's too caught up in this to ever say anyway. Sure, I did evil. But I covered it up and nobody knows. Except God knows. And the truth is, David deep down knows. But God will not let David get away with this because God knows that David's character has just been destroyed. So God tells the priest, Nathan, what David did. Don't you hate it when God tells on you? And Nathan goes to David and he confronts him with what he did. And he pulls the cover off of David's sin. He pulls the covers off of David's misbehavior. David had covered up his injustice. Nathan uncovers it. David had covered up his crime, had covered up his evil. Now here comes God through Nathan to uncover it. Truth is, it really wasn't covered that well. David knew. Bathsheba suspected. And she knew what David had done. And rumors were beginning to spread, I would guess. David's slip was showing. It turns out I'm not as good as covering up my sins as I think I am. You ever do something at school or in the neighborhood when you were a kid or a teenager, and before you got home, your mama already knew about it? That ever happened to you? You don't have to answer. How does she know? I thought I covered up. Well, it turns out I'm not as good as covering up sins as I think I am. And when your sins are uncovered, I promise you they will beat you up. Sin will beat you up. But that's not God's purpose in uncovering your sin. God wants to clean you up. Number two. Many think they have nothing to cover up. Many think they have nothing to cover up. That may be worse than covering up our sins. thinking that there is no sin to cover up. I'm not suggesting we cover them up. I'm just suggesting that we agree that there is a such thing as sin. We live in a society that says things are not that big of a deal. Sin is not that big of a deal because we don't believe in sin. Why cover up something that is not a sin? Everyone's out. Everybody's out nowadays. It's okay to be out. There's nothing to be ashamed of anymore. Until you break the current moral norms. Whatever the current moral norms happen to be, and the current moral norms change from year to year to year to year. They're forever changing, forever evolving. And when you break that social norm, you thought you had nothing to cover up because there is no such thing as sin, but now you've broken the social norm, and you go, uh-oh, I should have covered up. 2017 was a lot about men who didn't think they had anything to cover up. But all of a sudden, they should have realized, oh, I should have covered up a whole lot better. Now, it has always been this way, not just in 2018, where people say, what I am doing is not sin. It is not against the social norm, so there's no need to cover it up. Until we break that social norm and we realize that we have done evil, that society says we are an outcast, and we've been rejected by society, and we realize that we should have covered up. Although we learn when we cover up, we're still not very good at covering up our own sins. Jesus told a story about a young man in Luke chapter 11, a younger son who found a social norm that was socially acceptable to go against your father. To go against your father's ways, to go against staying in the home and living in that culture the way it was socially accepted. But it was becoming socially acceptable to leave your father. So this younger son hated his father, hated his father's rules, hated his father's home, asked for his inheritance, and left. And no one said a word because at that time, everybody was starting to do that. And he went out and he found a group of people that had accepted him, his wild living, his wild sexual living, and he didn't need to cover up anymore. He was out. Everything was out. Until this young man broke a social norm. What social norm did he break that finally society said, you're no good? The social norm he broke was he stopped being rich. He stopped having money. He lost everything. And all of a sudden, the people that were hanging around in him having a good time said, whoa, you got some issues, problems. We're getting... And this young man hit rock bottom. This Jewish young man ended up in a pig pen feeding pigs. Not very kosher. And he realized, I didn't cover up too well. And he begins to realize when he comes to himself that I shouldn't cover it up at all. That I was haunted, that I was troubled, that I was heinous, that I was evil, that I had iniquity, whatever that is. And he goes back home, or he wants to anyway. Now, I'm not here to judge anyone's sin except my own. But at the same time, we cannot have it's not that big of a deal attitude towards sin. We will end up uncovered when society pulls the covers back, when we break their social rule, or we'll end up uncovered when God says, this is breaking you and this is destroying you. And we'll end up dirty and unclean and feeding the pigs. And depending on how bad the social faux pas is, society will make you live in that pit and will not let you out of the pit. That's what society will do to you. A broken, fallen society will put you in the pig pen and will tell you to stay in the pig pen. But that's not who God is. That's not who the Father is. The Father is always looking for you, looking for me, looking for us to come home. David's words in verse 4 of Psalms 51 resemble the words of the younger son in Jesus' story of the prodigal son. When the younger son came back home, he told his father, "I have sinned against you." In verse 4, David said, "Against you, you alone have I sinned. I'm not worthy enough to be called your son," but the father says, "Welcome home." And the father says, "Let's clean him up. My son was dead. He was in the pit. Society wanted to keep him there, but he's back home, and I want to restore him, clean him up, and feast with him." See, sin and society will beat you up, but God the Father wants to clean you up. Number 3, God, don't beat me up because of my sin. God, don't beat me up because of my sin. I've prayed that prayer before. If you've never prayed that prayer before, you probably haven't realized how big of a sinner you are. God, don't beat me up. I'm messed up. I've sinned. I'm a sinner. It seems like all my life since I was born, I've been living in injustice and evil. But despite all of that, God, don't beat me up. Don't kick me out. Don't banish me. Don't blot me out, but blot out my sins. David's own sins had caused him to pray this prayer. He just felt beat up. And David's sins had beat himself up. And David's sins, he had beat Bathsheba by abusing his power against this woman. And David's sins had beat up the nation. David was beat up. And he felt beat up by God. Now, the sovereignty of God is real. The moral law of God is real. The way God has created the universe to function is very real. And all those right ways, don't commit adultery, is very real, even though our society says it doesn't matter. But when you break that law, you'll see that you're beat up. Because God has put that moral law in place. So all these right ways are in place by God. And they're put there for our good. Now that David has broke God's moral law, he feels like God is beating him up. And in a sense, because of God's sovereignty, he is beating him up. It was right to feel that way from a human perspective, but I believe it is wrongly because that goes against God's character. God was not beating him up, because God has revealed that he does not want to beat up even the worst of sinners. But David should have been beaten up. David should not have been restored. According to the natural law wants an eye for an eye. Don't you want an eye for an eye? When somebody comes against you, pokes you in the eye, don't you sometimes just want to... But we can get into the unnatural law, the really broken part of humanity. We want even more than an eye for an eye. You took my eye, I'm taking more than that. You say, "I don't know, I don't feel that way." If Uriah was your son or your brother, you would not want David restored. If Uriah was your child, if Uriah was close to you, you would not want David cleaned. We like punitive justice. They did wrong, now beat them up. And we see this as right. And from a human perspective, it can be right. The thing is, if you bring about punitive justice against David, David is brought before the courts, and he's convicted of committing a war crime, which is what he did. what he did, he abused his power. He should have been on the news, abuse of power. He should have been brought before the courts. But if that had have happened, Uriah is still dead. You feel better for a little while and you say punitive justice is done, and punitive justice was done if David had been executed. But I've heard story after story after story and read them of victims who've lost someone. Someone has killed their family member, and they wanted punitive justice, and they went to the execution, and they saw the person executed. Then months and years later, you hear them tell their story. I thought I would feel better, but I still feel the same. I still feel that hate. I still feel that unforgiveness against that person. Punitive justice. It may be right from a human perspective, and many times we have to go through a punitive justice. But it doesn't change anything. You say, but someone's got to pay. Someone has got to pay. I agree with you. Somebody did pay. David paid for his sins personally, yes, but he wasn't ultimately the one who paid. The person who paid was David's great, great, great grandson, Jesus. Jesus Messiah, God in the flesh. Jesus took David's murder. Jesus took David's adultery. Jesus took David's abuse of power. Jesus took all of humanity's sins. Jesus took your sins, my sins, our hate, our greed, our lust, our pride, our unforgiveness, our crimes, our injustice, our evil, and he took it upon himself. And he became stained. God became stained. God became the one who was blotted out. God became the one who was banished to death. It was Jesus himself who felt like the Holy Spirit was taken away from him when on the cross he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he took all of that and he buried all of that in the grave. And he overcame it through resurrection. And when he rose from the grave alive and alive forevermore, he didn't come back looking for punitive justice to beat them up, those who did it, although they deserved it, and it would have been right. He wanted to clean up those who abused him, who murdered him. He wanted to bring what we call restorative justice. And restorative justice is better than punitive justice. It's better than right. Because one of the first things that David prayed was, Lord, have mercy on me. Restorative justice begins with mercy. Punitive justice will leave the whole world beat up. Why? Because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And every person here needs some form of punitive justice. And I know some stains are much more visible than others. That's when we have to protect people and protect society with punitive justice. But restorative justice is a better way because it cleans us up. Restorative justice is what you did was a sin, what you did was evil. But I invite you home. Even if there's reaping of what we have sown to do along the way, I invite you home. And we will do the messy work of restoring. We will roll up our sleeves, we will do the scrubbing, and we will do the washing to wash this stain away from your soul and from society. See, restorative justice is much, much harder than punitive justice. But restorative justice is much, much more effective than punitive justice. Because restorative justice restores you personally, cleans you personally, and cleans the world as a whole. See, sin will beat you up, but God wants to clean you up. Number four. Are you still with me? I got to hurry up. All right. God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me because of my sin. God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me because of my sin. David knew a king who had sinned. David knew a king who had attempted murder on several occasions. David knew a king whom the Spirit of God was taken from. 1 Samuel 16:14. Now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. The Spirit of God was taken from Saul. David's predecessor, the man that David took over for as king, who had tried to kill David himself several times, Saul fell into evil and the Holy Spirit was taken from him. Now David, who was much better at murder than Saul was in danger of the same fate as Saul, and he was petrified. He was going down the same route as Saul. We start going down the same route as Mama, or the same route as Daddy, or the same route as my sibling, or the same route of the thing that I've hated. And we see we're going to end up in the same mess that they ended up in. Now David pleads, don't let me turn out like Saul. Because Saul had sinned, and he had a proud heart that would not repent and humble himself. David also sinned, and his sin actually even seems worse. But he humbled himself and repented. A proud, sinful heart will take from you. Slowly but surely and eventually it will take everything from you. A humble, repentant heart will give to you, and it may be slowly, and there may be a lot of scrubbing and cleaning, but slowly but surely it will give to you, and eventually when it's all said and done, it will give you everything, including eternal life. Saul refused to be broken, but David accepted his brokenness and was restored. The Holy Spirit was not taken from him. The Holy Spirit, the creator of life, the one who takes away this deadness inside of us because of the sins we committed. Save me, because I can't save myself. Return to me the joy of your salvation. I need more than Marvel and DC superheroes. I need a better Savior than that. I need more than Thor. I need more than Batman. I need saving. Restore to me the joy. Bring it back. I once had it. Bring it back to me. Because I know sin will beat me up, but I know, God, you want to clean me up. Number five. God, clean me up from my sin. God, clean me up from my sin. You have broken me, I am broken, but now let me rejoice. Clean me up. Get rid of this haunting feeling, clean me up. Bring back the joy, clean me up. Don't banish me, make me a permanent outcast, clean me up. Don't let me be permanently stained and rejected, clean me up. Don't banish me from your home, from your presence, clean me up. And make me willing to obey you. Clean me up. I like that. David prays, make me willing. Give me a willing heart. Boy, we need to pray that more often. I know my unwilling ways. Do you know your unwilling ways? God, I want to do right and avoid wrong, but I know me. I know how unwilling I am. I end up doing wrong and not doing right. Paul says, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I end up doing. So you have to make me willing. Clean me up. You have to transform my will. Clean me up. And he will. Sin won't. Society won't. And you can't. But he will. Sin will beat you up, but God wants to clean you up. You believe that? Come on, Monica. Let's begin to pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, our sins have beaten us up. Lord, help us not to cover up our sins, because we know we're bad at covering them up. And when they're uncovered, they'll be 10 times worse, 100 times worse. God, don't beat us up. Clean us up. Make us willing to obey you.
Create me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and renew a right spirit within me.
Lord, today we all pray Psalms 51. We ask that you would have mercy on us, O God. Have mercy on me, O God. We need your mercy, Lord. Lord, be merciful to us because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, be merciful to us. God, would you blot out my transgressions? Would you wash away all my iniquity, O God? God, would you cleanse my heart from all my sin, O Lord? God, these transgressions, I know them. They're always before me. I know I've sinned against you and against you alone. I've done what is evil. God, I know you're right. I deserve the verdict of guilty. I deserve it. I deserve it. I deserve punitive justice. I know it. I know it. And Lord, I've been struggling with this a long time. I've been sinful from birth, sinful from the time I was born, oh God. And I know you don't desire that. You desired for me to be faithful. You desire faithfulness from just being a small child. Lord, you desire wisdom in the places I try to cover up. But I ask right now in Jesus' name that you cleanse me, that you get down into those secret places and cleanse me. Because if you do, I'll be clean. By your Holy Spirit, wash my soul. And I'll be whiter than snow. God, I've lost joy and gladness, but let me hear it again. Let this, my bones that just feel crushed from this weight, rejoice once again. And I ask that you would just hide your face from my sins. Just blot out all these iniquities. And God, created me a pure heart, a clean heart, oh God. And renew a right spirit within me. Lord, don't cast me away from your presence, from your closeness, from your home. Let me back home. And Lord, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Lord, I don't want to go down that route. I've seen other people go down that route and have lost your Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was taken from them. Restore, oh God, the joy of your salvation. It's not my salvation. You're the one who saves me. Restore that joy. And Lord, grant me a willing spirit. Make me willing to obey you. Give me a willing spirit that will sustain me, oh Lord. And I thank you for it. Thank you, Jesus.
Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit.
Stand for the blessing today. Sin wants to beat you up, but don't let it. Don't let sin and society beat you up. Let it drive you to the Lord. Let it drive you back home. Because God wants to clean you up. Sin will beat you up, but God wants to clean you up. And restore everything that was lost, slowly but surely, and eternally restored. We thank you for this truth. We thank you for this day. We thank you that you want to clean us up and bring us back the joy we thank you that you will not let sin beat us up and cast us down, but that you wanted to clean us up. And you're cleaning us up, and you have cleaned us up, and will continue to do so for those who are humble and for those who cry out for you, to you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this great truth. Now, Lord, just bless your people. Just make your face shine upon them. Be gracious to every person here. And give every person here your peace. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.